Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, Fight fans, and welcome to this issue of Knuckle Up on Sports Action Network Radio. It's your host, George Bowley. Sitting in, as always, is the editor at the MMA Corner and Scrap Fight Magazine, Mr. Josh Davis, who should be calling us in shortly. We have Bellator and we have Glory tonight. Everybody's really waiting for UFC 205, which is next weekend. Starts the fight week, but really that's what we're focused on right now, is those two events. So we will definitely see how they all shake out. Other than that, news really has just really been focused around UFC Fight Week, really, coming up. What's going on, brother? How are you?
Oh, enjoying the day. Just really killing time till UFC 205. I'm excited.
Everybody
is. Like a little kid waiting at Christmas.
Everybody is. You know, everybody is. But we do have events. We have Bellator tonight. You know, Phil Davis is fighting for his title. Long time coming. And we also have Glory tonight as well, too. So how do you see those events? Or are we just looking at 205?
No, I do. Bellator, and first off, let me apologize. Bellator, you guys know I love you, and I am absolutely looking forward to Phil Davis and Liam McGarry. I love Liam. We've talked about him several times on this show in the past, and every time this guy steps into the cage, he gets better and better. You know, is he an elite-level fighter? No, he's not there yet. But the guy has all the skills in the world, and he continues to evolve. He continues to get better. So I am I'm excited to see how he fares against Phil Davis. Can he deal with Phil's wrestling? Can he win this fight? That's what I'm really looking forward to. Because if he can, then absolutely, I'll start to consider him an elite level fighter. So I'm really looking forward to this fight. This entire card is solid, and you know, no, Bellator doesn't do millions of dollars worth of marketing, so a lot of these fights get overlooked. But this is going to be a solid card, and Glory doesn't need anything. Every fight that Glory puts on is exciting, because kickboxing is exciting. The way the sport is set up, it's designed to be exciting. And so as long as they continue to have quality matchmaking, the fighters are going to continue to put on exciting fights. So I'm stoked for Glory. I can't wait. I'll be TiVoing it and watching a replay, but I'm not going to be missing it, that's for sure.
No doubt about it. And I do stand corrected. Tomorrow we do have a UFC event, UFC Fight Night.
We do. 98 is tomorrow, I believe. I believe it's 98.
Absolutely. So we do have a UFC event coming in with that. But, you know, really the fight card that everybody really has been looking forward to is 205 next weekend. You know, I mean, it's going to be a showstopper. You know, and we can't even overlook the fact it's bad, because you know this is Mexico City and they're there, and you know you have Rafael Dos Anjos fighting Tony Ferguson for the UFC card, but you know we can't overlook the co-main event. The co-main event for this particular card is Diego Sanchez, who's on the downslope of his career, but he's fighting a Bellator or a former Bellator fighter in Marcin Hill, you know, who, if you look at their records, yes, Diego has more fights. You know, like I said, he's on the downside of his career. But Marcin, you know, it's interesting that he would come directly from Bellator and get a co-main event fight when there's so many other people on that card, from Lamas and Oliveira, you know. So it's interesting. It's definitely interesting. And that fight's happening tomorrow.
Now, first off, Marcin Held's a bad dude. He's vicious. I really am excited to see what he can do as he transitions over to the UFC. You know, some people have success, some people, you know, don't. So I am looking forward to see how the transition works out for him. But he's an exciting fighter. He's a bad dude. So I think just the fact that he has a following is why he was able to get the co-main event status. I love Diego Sanchez, but like you said, Diego's on the downside of his career. And I think they gave held the Sanchez fight, so when he does get the victory, it's, you know, somewhat of a named opponent, and it, you know, will help propel him up the ladder. And yeah, I am looking forward to this. And then, like you said, the main event, you can't sleep on that fight because you have a former champion against Tony Ferguson, who's on, what, a 7-8 fight win streak. I mean, the guy's killing everybody, and he's just not getting any respect. So if he goes out there and puts a beating on RDA, then how is he not in the title mix? How is he not even getting the next title shot? So this is a very important fight. If RDA wants to, you know, get a title shot, get the winner of Conor McGregor and Jose Aldo, he can't lose this fight. You know, he's got to go out there and whoop on Tony. And Tony's going to be the bigger, lengthier, stronger opponent. And let's be honest, RDA didn't look good in his last fight. You know, Eddie whooped him. And so, you know, what's RDA going to bring to the table? So this is a very, very important fight. The problem is UFC stuck it in the week before 205, which will go down as the biggest card in UFC history. And they're not getting any marketing. They're not getting any run. Most people don't even realize this card is going on. And so, yeah, and I blame the UFC for that. But from top to bottom, it is an exciting weekend to be a fight fan.
Yeah, it definitely is, quite honestly. A kick in the teeth. And I know I always say that, but these guys, you know, if you've never gone through a fight camp, if you've never, ever put yourself in that position, then you don't know what I'm talking about. But if you've put yourself through a fight camp, if you've trained through something, if you've gone through the 12 weeks of training, food, diet, sacrifice, you know, to be able to compete, put out the best output, you know, it's just hurtful that your marketing company doesn't, or the people marketing the fight don't put their best foot forward. You know what I mean? I mean, you have a former champion on this particular card, and it completely, look, I completely glossed over it. In the beginning, I only talked about Bellator and Glory. I didn't even mention UFC until I had to go back and check my notes. You see what I'm saying? So it's awful. It's awful that people in the media aren't even paying attention to this fight. Everything is focused on 205. And, yeah, I mean, 205, let's give it to them. Let's give it to the UFC. Without them, they're lobbying the money that they put into New York to make MMA a legal sport in New York, it wouldn't be there. No other company had the ability to do what they did. And it didn't happen overnight. It took years. Years of them going up there, years of people like Matt Serra and John Jones testifying in front of the U.S. Assembly, I mean, New York State Assembly, to get this legalized. So, yeah, this is their they should take a bow. There's no doubt about it. And that you're going to deserve everything that they get from 205. But past that, you know, as an organization as well, too, what about everybody else?
What about everybody else? You know, and that is the big question. And I give the UFC all the credit in the world for getting MMA legalized in New York. You know, there are plenty of other MMA promotions. But let's be honest, the front runners, the people doing the bulk of the work was the UFC, not Bellator, not World Series of Fighting, not these other promoters. It was the UFC, and everybody is going to be able to capitalize on this new market share, which is New York. Bellator is putting on events there. The World Series of Fighting has their New Year's Eve super event going on in New York. So, it is going to be huge. But UFC 205, the UFC really did do a good job putting together one hell of a card. And not only that, they did a good job catering to certain fighters that they felt deserved to be on this card for one reason or another, because everyone wanted to be on the card. And obviously, when you have 400 fighters, you can't accommodate everybody, but the people that they thought truly deserved to be on the card, they found a way and got them on there. I mean, look at it. Frankie Edgar is on the prelims. One of the most exciting fighters in UFC history is on the prelims. Not because he's on the downside of his career, not because he's declining. He's not. He's still one of the best in the world. It's just that this card is so stacked, the best place for him was the prelims.
And you know what really worries me about this card is every time the UFC stacks a card like this, it's really lackluster, so to speak. You know what I mean? Like it's not everything that you want it to be. And so you sit there and you're all pumped up and you go, oh, the fight card really wasn't. And this has happened throughout the entire history of when they've been stacking these cards or that they've been stacking these cards. You know, you're going to have some great fights, but then you're going to have these huge lulls in these particular cards. And this card, look, ladies and gentlemen, we'll talk about 205 next week, but this card literally is stacked from the first card with Liz Carmouche to the main event. Every bout on this card has a named fighter: Carmouche, Boach, okay, Alves, Muhammad, Evans, Johnson, Edgar. You know what I mean? Tate, Cerrone, Weidman. You know, JJ, Woodley, McGregor. I mean, every fight, it's like you almost can't go to the bathroom. You see what I'm saying? Or get up for 4 hours, because every fight on this particular card is a named fight. Like you just can't do it. You can't do it. From the first fight all the way up, you can't do it.
Yeah, you better have a jar, you know, because it is. Now, here's the thing. Again, UFC did an excellent job in putting these fighters on the card. Now it's up to the fighters to perform. You know, if people go out and lay eggs, which has happened in the past, I mean, let's talk about UFC 200 for a quick second. A lot of those fighters laid eggs. They showed up and performed, but they did not perform to the best of their ability, and it left for a very lackluster card. And so, again, the talent's there, but they got to show up and fight. They have to put on the performances for, you know, the card to come through. Otherwise, it's going to be like you said, you're going to be disappointed. And for anyone watching this card, there's no reason that anyone should leave disappointed unless the fighter you wanted to win loses. But you shouldn't be disappointed because the card didn't deliver. So I will say this. The UFC has done their part. It's now up to the fighters to do their part.
No doubt about it. Let's switch gears here and talk about news.
You know, I think one of the big things coming out, again, was Ronda Rousey doing on Ellen DeGeneres' show this week and said that UFC 207 could be one of her last fights. She did not say it was going to be her last fight. She said it could be one of her last fights. And now, obviously, you know, media doing what media does completely misconstrues her comments and creates this buzz. Here's the deal. If Ronda gets whooped by Amanda, she's never fighting again. That has nothing to do with anything other than the fact that she doesn't want to put in the time. If she wins, Ronda is going to honor her contract. How she goes about doing that is yet to be determined, but she'll still have two fights left on her contract, and absolutely she will look to defend that title. She'll look to honor that contract. But if she loses, she's done. And so it's not like there was any news to this story. It's not like that's not anything that we haven't already discussed, but that is what came out. Now, the other big story coming out is Donald Cerrone. Man, he is making waves. He's coming out telling people that it's time to unionize, and he'll absolutely take one for the team and do what he needs to do to make that happen. And then he takes it one step further and gets political and tells everyone to go out and vote. I love what Donald's doing. I love the fact that he is speaking his mind about what he believes. And I think it's about time. I think more fighters need to be willing to do this. And I think the fact that there's new ownership and people aren't intimidated by new ownership yet allows them to say things that they wouldn't have normally said in the past.
And that's exactly what I was just getting ready to say. Could it be because of new ownership that he's now saying, look, it's time to unionize when it comes to the fight? And it wouldn't really be that difficult. I think there's a law in place, like we were talking about a couple months ago, the Ali Act is definitely in place to be able to make that transition very easily. But the old regime at Zuffa was the one that really lobbied against this particular act, you know, and especially for this particular sport, and they won. And the kicker about it was the guy that was pushing it was a former MMA fighter who got elected to Congress. You know what I mean? So it's
yes.
Crazy.
It is. But this union stuff it's much more than a pipe dream. It's much more than two guys talking about it on a radio show. The Diaz brothers' attorney is the head of the PFA, which is really pushing forward to unionize the UFC. They've sent out union cards. They've done everything legally that they need to do. And now it's up to the fighters to return their ballots, to basically say, to check the little box that says, yes, we want a union. And then there will be a fighters union for the UFC. Once it starts there, the rest of MMA will follow suit. Because, again, the UFC is the biggest organization in the world. If their business, if their team unionizes, then MMA is going to have to follow suit because 90% of the fighters want to be in the UFC.
Yeah. You know, speaking from a standpoint really quick, I know we touched it, but we just really glossed over it. How much money now will that put in the fighter's pocket, take out of the promotion's pocket? How much more money will the fans have to kick back a union? How does that affect the sport?
Well, it's going to affect the sport in a lot of different ways, but the exact ways will be determined on what kind of agreement once the fighters say, okay, yes, let's unionize. And either in a normal situation, once you have your union, you're either willing to go on strike, you know, you have your union rep meet with whoever. But as a team, you have to determine what your end goals are and where you stand. So a lot of it will be determined by what specifically the fighters want. Do you just want more money? I mean, if it's that simple, absolutely. The UFC will just kick you down, you know, a higher percentage. They won't bat an eye at that. That's easy for them. But once you start talking about, no, we want long-term health care, we want this, we want that, then ownership has to start thinking, okay, do we want to move forward with these fighters, or do we just want to say, you know what, you're all fired, here's your payout, and we'll sign 400 new fighters and move forward? They're not going to do that because, again, if the fighters in Bellator were quality of pay-per-view, Bellator would already be doing that, but they know they can't. A lot of it is because no one knows about their fighters. So the UFC can't just go sign all of them and then do a pay-per-view. No one's gonna go for that. So they would have to start figuring out, okay, what's the middle ground that we're going to meet at? And then once we meet there, how are we going to cover this? Okay, are we going to take less money? Highly unlikely. So are we going to kick it back to the fans? Absolutely. How are we going to do this? Well, we're going to raise ticket prices. Okay, so now your $75 ticket is $100. Your $100 ticket is $125 all across the board. Number two, we're going to raise pay-per-view prices. Okay, instead of $59, they're now going to be $79. And another reason for that is we're doing less events. We're no longer going to do, 20 pay-per-views in a year. We're going to do 8. And so they will recoup it that way. The other place they will recoup it is with their advertisers. So your 30-second commercial or live read or whatever sponsored by just went up by 50%. And so that's how they will go about making everything work. But certain fighters, someone like Conor McGregor, he's going to eat it. He's going to go from, getting 20% of pay-per-view buys to a standard unionized, if you're, with this, we'll go by stars. If you are a 5-star fighter, then your pay-per-view buy rate is this, period. Whether you're the first fight on the card or the last fight on the main card, that's your pay-per-view buy rate. If you're 1-star, then this is your pay-per-view buy rate. Doesn't matter about card placement. It's just the fact that nobody knows who you are. No one's ever heard of you. You might be on your way to being the greatest fighter ever, but because no one's heard of you yet, you get this amount.
Yeah, the problem with that is going to be is who's going to be in charge of the stars, star rating. Who's going to be in charge of your ranking? You or the promotion that doesn't want to pay you the money, so they say, no, we don't want to put you to, a 4-star, 5-star status just yet. We'll leave you at 1, maybe 2. You know what I mean? It's going to be tricky. It's definitely going to be tricky on how.
It's absolutely going to be tricky. And again, that's why if you truly unionize, you have to have faith in your union rep. You have to truly believe in, the president of the union, because he's the person, or she is the person that goes in and does all of the negotiating. So you have to believe that no matter what the circumstances is, they're always going to have your best interest. So the fighter star ranking, for instance, do I think they'll use stars? No, I think they'll go a completely different route. The star is just easy for people to follow. But let's say, yeah, they adopt that theory and that's what they go with. Then you either have to appoint someone from your union and then someone from the UFC to work collectively together to determine how a person goes from 1-star to 2 stars and from 2 stars to 3 stars, so on and so forth. That way, if a fighter has an issue, they can take it up fairly with their union rep. Otherwise, it's, again, a biased, arbitrary ranking. The other thing that they could do is come up with a computerized algorithm, that says if you do this, this, and this, you move up a point. And once you move up so many points, you move on to the next level. However, if you lose a fight or if you, miss 10 takedowns in a row, you lose a point. And if you lose so many points, you drop a star. And so there's a lot of different ways they can go about doing it, but it all starts with it really starts with the fighters truly determining that that's what they want to do is unionize, and then what do they want to get out of having a union? Guaranteed fights, guaranteed money, guaranteed health care, whatever it is, they got to get all of that determined, and they have to do it between, 400 people.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot to it, but it's, again, I think monetarily, the biggest change will come from ad revenue and from people buying pay-per-views.
Right. Well, the pay-per-views numbers, they've already saturated. You know, let's be honest. People have been complaining about pay-per-view numbers for years. You know, I honestly don't think that we're going to see pay-per-view numbers boost all the way up into the hundreds, 150 for a pay-per-view. You know, I mean, it's just not sustainable. Even if they do less fights, it's just not sustainable. You know what I mean? So that's going to be interesting. But they're going to have to make a difference because they're doing less pay-per-views. A lot of their pay-per-view revenue came from the fact that sometimes they were doing two pay-per-views a month, you know. And to have that cut in half, you're going to have to make the difference someplace. You just really are. Which is also a good thing, too, because, look, pay-per-view revs could boost up another 20-30% because every card now, really, if it's a pay-per-view-worthy card, that means every card, the main event card, which is a pay-per-view, and also the Fox Sports 1 card is going to have the audience because of the fights. You know what I mean? Like what you're going to see on UFC 205. Maybe they're using that as a model to see what it's like to carry a full stat card. But, you know, we'll definitely see how the analytics work out with that.
Well, so I've been doing some significant research, actually, related to all of this. And I've been reading over the actual contract for the sale of the UFC, because it's now a matter of public record. Anyone can go out and read this stuff, and it's pretty interesting. And what I really find interesting is the way the buyout was funded and how WMEIMG, how they get paid, essentially, how they get more money from investors if they meet certain goals. And obviously that's a given in any kind of business, but it's the type of goals that they have to meet and the way they go about achieving these goals that I find interesting. You know, obviously they want to make more money, but their hands are somewhat tied in how they can do that. Like, they can't just go out and spend more money to make more money. They have to triple their profit and spend half as much money as they already are. And when you think about that, it's not easy to do because, again, you do have to spend money to make money. You have to market your events. You have to do all this kind of stuff so you can get that return. And the less money you spend, understand, the less money you're going to make. So they're telling them you need to spend less money and make more. So we've seen right off the bat what I'm talking about. They laid off 20% of the company, 15%, whatever. The purpose of that was to cut the payroll in half. So right now, the UFC, per their own numbers that they submitted, are paying about $60 million annually in salaries. Not including ownership. Sure. So not including Dana White, not including the Fertittas, nothing like that. Just straight salaries. Also not including fighter salaries. Just straight employment salaries. $60 million annually. That's insane. Which is why we saw all these execs with their big salaries getting cut. The UFC essentially, with the 20% or 12%, whatever you want to call it, layoff, reduced payroll by $27 million.
That's a huge number.
That's a huge number. And they did it by not cutting half the workforce, only a small percentage, but almost cut half the payroll.
Right.
So, if they can continue to get the same effectiveness without these big salaries, then they'll be able to achieve certain goals and get more money flooded in from all the types of different investors, stocks, all that kind of stuff. And that's just one small piece. And again, there's still so much of this that I haven't even got into, but that's just one small piece of what I've put together that they're doing just based off of their own submitted paperwork. And so when I said way back when, expect changes to come. Now that I'm truly reading, change doesn't even describe it. I mean, when they're all said and done, the UFC is not even going to be remotely the same to what the Fertittas did. Everything these guys want to do is absolutely 100% different. And so if they're going to be successful, they're going to have to be 100% different. Otherwise, they're going to lose their funding. And without their funding, they don't really have any way to move forward, because they are extremely, extremely in debt.
Absolutely. Well, we're going to have to leave that right there. Don't forget to check out Bellator tonight, Glory tonight, UFC tomorrow. I want to thank you for sitting in. Also, next week, check out the latest issue of Scrap Fight Magazine at scrapfightmag.com. And I want to thank you, partner, for sitting in. Everybody out, stay knuckled up. And we'll talk next week.
Your days at the newsstand are over. Scrap Fight Magazine brings all the world's mixed martial arts action to your computer with a click of a mouse. Read articles, interviews, and feature pieces from some of the world's most respected fight journalists, and get the lowdown on the biggest MMA events and fighters from across the globe. And because Scrap is digital, you'll have full access to the integrated audio and video segments. So subscribe now at www.scrapfightmag.com and get your scrap on.